All right, we're at time now. We'll let the last couple folks stream in.
Let them finish their siestas. I think it's about the end of siesta time. Everyone's had their naps, correct? No one's going to be falling asleep in here. You had a nap. Okay, that's what we wanted to hear. Perfect, because we're going to be doing something very important in this session. We're going to be turning you all into office ninjas.
Yes, so we're both members of the Office Technical Product Management team. I actually work on the Office web apps, and Ari works on Excel.
Excel and Access. Don't forget about Access.
I won't forget about Access. And then we've worked with a bunch of our team members, so our PowerPoint product manager, Word product manager, OneNote product managers, to pull together all of the top features, the new stuff that we've seen in the current release, and some of the great stuff in previous releases, so that you, yourself, can become a ninja, that we've all been aspiring to become in office. And really we see there are three kind of paths of enlightenment to becoming a ninja of office. And the first one is really about bringing inner peace to yourself. And we're gonna show you some tips and tricks around bringing peace by mastering your inbox, and also about bringing some organization to your notes in OneNote. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about collaboration. We know that's sort of a painful process sometimes. It's very valuable, but the process is kind of frustrating at moments. We're going to show you how to make that a little bit easier using some of the tools in Office as well. And the third one is really about making sure that your documents and the stuff that you're sharing with other people really represents you in a really strong way, that you really seem like people will think you're kind of a star when it comes to putting together great content. So we're going to show you some of the tools in the latest release and some of the stuff, some of the old standbys that we really like as well. So that's kind of across Excel and Word and PowerPoint. So that's kind of the overview of where we're going to be. And I'm going to go ahead and let Ari kick it off around the inner piece. He's going to talk a little bit about Outlook. Let me see if I can work this thing. And also, if you have questions, if there's fast and pretty easy ones to handle, feel free to pepper us as we go. If they're kind of longer, deeper ones, we're happy to take those questions afterwards as well. And then we'll also be at the Meet the Experts tonight, right? 6-ish, 6:30-ish. So we're happy to talk about some stuff in depth there as well. So great. Thank you.
Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, so as Amanda mentioned, our first part of being a ninja is inner peace. Since we know all of you spend most of your time in Outlook, inner peace really starts with Outlook, with your email, making sure that you're managing your inbox, spending just enough time on the things that are most important to you. So just to start off, how many of you have seen the new Outlook before? Oh, a good bit of you. Okay, great. So I won't walk through the UI then, but I will show you some of the cool new features in Outlook. So first of all, as I mentioned, we're talking about focusing on the things that are most important to you, and that's really what Outlook is about. So I'm going to pull up this first email we have here from Robin. And what started here is an email thread that I really don't want to be a part of. I know many of you are probably Premier League soccer fans, Real Madrid maybe. But this email thread is all about MLS. So I really don't have any interest in this. No one really cares about MLS, right? So what I'm going to do is actually just ignore this thread. And when I ignore this thread, it's actually going to not only delete the message on top, but it's going to ignore all future messages so that I don't continue to get pinged and get more emails on this thread. So what we're going to do is you just right-click, and we can hit ignore. Boom, and it'll apply to all items in this thread, so it'll delete all the ones that are already in my inbox. Prompts me again. Boom. No more MLS, only Premier League soccer to worry about now.
And then anything coming in on that thread will also be moved right out of the inbox.
Exactly. The other thing that I'll show you is, so looking at this email from Pavel, it sounds like this is a pretty important thing. I need to send him some expense reports. So I'm going to let him know that that's going to happen. And immediately what I'm prompted with is inline reply. So what we used to have is separate windows that would pop up in Outlook. This allows you to focus on the email at hand while not losing sight of the mailbox that you already have open. So what I can start doing is start typing a message. Yes, it's on its way. Oop. And let's say, you know, I got a little bit distracted. Amanda said something to me while I was typing this message. And I can actually, I switch over to something else. What happens is it actually saves that draft and makes a note of it next to the message, which is really handy and something we didn't have in previous versions of Outlook. You also see the one pop up next to the drafts folder. So that's kind of nice. So we can actually just go back to that. It pulls up the inline reply once again, and I can just send that message. The other thing that I'll note here is that there's actually a mail tip that pops up because Pavel's on vacation. It says here that he's at Tech Ed Europe, like most of us here. So I have a note that he's going to send back that message before I even send it. So kind of channeling that inner ninja, knowing what's going to happen before I even do it. So we'll send that, probably get that reply in just a few minutes. The other thing, looking at Outlook, is there's some important company policies that are put in place in Exchange to make sure that no data leaks out that shouldn't. So what we're going to look at is this particular email is asking for some customer information for the Northwind account. So I'm going to reply to our friend Garrett here. We're actually going to just pop out this window so we get a little bit better view of it. And attach a file that has the information that he's looking for, which I've saved on the desktop here. Roll down to Northwind customer data. And what should happen there is there will be a warning. We'll see if it shows up at some point here.
Just type something, maybe.
And there we go. You see, it just takes a minute for us to send the information off to Exchange. And you can see that a policy tip pops up that says, this message may contain sensitive information. Your organization won't allow this message to be sent. So a lot of times, that's really important to make sure that important customer data like this won't leak into the wrong hands. And so it notifies me of that. I can actually try to send it in this case. And it says, your organization won't allow you to. So what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to override it. And what actually happens when I override it is there's an audit trail that tracks that particular message. So even though I'm able to send it, my organization's IT is notified that I have sent that customer data. So it doesn't get out without anybody knowing. Let's see here. The other thing I'll show you with Outlook that's really important is it's all touch optimized now. So both Amanda and I are using touch devices. One's using a Surface Pro. I'm using an X1 Carbon Lenovo. I've loved this PC, and what's great is that I can actually, when I don't want to use a mouse, I can actually use touch as well. So in this case, you can switch into touch mode, and you can see that the buttons become a lot bigger, which is kind of nice. You know, my fingers get kind of fat sometimes when I'm trying to touch things on the screen. So let's scroll up and actually, so we know he got his automatic reply. We don't really need to see that anymore. So we'll just hit the quick action to delete that particular message. And these quick actions show up in touch mode so that you don't have to be clicking around with your finger.
And it's right here by your thumb.
Yeah, exactly, right by your thumb. So those are just a few things with Outlook Touch. The other thing that's really important, and this is a part of our whole extensibility model throughout Office. I don't know, how many of you have heard about the new apps for Office? Just to get an idea. Not very many of you. Okay, so there's actually a few other apps for Office sessions at Tech Ed Europe this year, and I encourage you to go see them because that's kind of the direction we're headed with the extensibility model throughout Office applications. But what I'm going to look at is this particular email from Robin that talks about a project update in a meeting that we need to have very soon. So for this particular project update, there's a meeting location as well as a meeting time. And these are all things that are actually noticed by this app for Office. So what we'll do is let's see what the suggested meeting. This is an app for Office that you can add into Outlook. And you'll see it actually notices that there's this information and immediately allows me to schedule a meeting with Robin because of that information. So she didn't even have to send me a separate invite. So we'll just save and close that. It looks like it's got the information right. Then the other thing is there's another app for Office that's called Big Maps. Oh, look, looks like we got our notification. That just happens because this meeting was actually scheduled in the past. But looking at Big Maps here, what's great about this app for Office is that in line you can actually interact with Big Maps without having to pull up a browser. So this gives me the location that Robin wanted to meet. So I can actually interact with this as well. We can actually zoom in a little bit more, get a little bit more context. Where exactly is this? Oh, I can even see the parking lot there. That's pretty cool. You can even get directions from here, which is awfully nice. It'll pull me right into Bing to be able to do that. So just a nice little ways to be able to get to the information that you want a lot faster. The other thing I'll show you is a lot about the Outlook UI is about keeping things in context. As I mentioned, you know, being able to ignore messages is really awesome. Being able to move into touch mode so you get the buttons that you want where you want them. But the other thing is a lot of Office, and you'll see this also with Excel, is that there's a lot of hovering that you do rather than clicking. So in this case, like I want to look at my calendar, but I want to switch to the calendar tab. I can actually just pull up this calendar quick peek and be able to click around in my schedule to see what my schedule looks like for the next few weeks. The other thing is, you know, you could have a people peek and be able to pull up just my favorites in the people peek. Here, we'll switch back to calendar so you get a sense for that. And it should go back to mail. There we go. There we go. You can see some of the favorites that I have there. And what's also great about these favorites in the people peek is that you actually get the presence within link. And this is true actually throughout Office applications that you'll see that if you hover over a name and it's someone in your global address list, that it'll actually pull up this information about each person. And you could actually see if they were signed into link, that it would have their presence as well. So just another way to stay in context while getting the information that you need. So I'll turn it off to Amanda to tell you a little bit more about some of the other ways that you can maintain inner peace in OneNote.
Can I quickly?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
It's usually a long press, so yeah. It's kind of the similar kind of motion on the mobile or a touch device. It's sort of a long press, and then it gives you the contextual menu.
Yeah, the question was about hovering over on mobile devices.
Any
touch device, mm-hmm.
Great. So who has become kind of really addicted to OneNote? Anybody out there? Oh, more than I thought there would be. So we've got actually have the OneNote product manager here himself. So he's going to be taking notes on how I do here. So OneNote is actually one of our least known applications, but it's also one of our most loved applications. And a lot of it has to do with how easy it is to manage all of your to-dos, all of the things that you have in your mind that you need to get on paper and keep organized. And, you know, it's more than just a notebook. You know, your notebook is, you know, a paper notebook, and I actually still love a paper notebook. But it doesn't give me the peace of mind that I need to know where the information that I'm looking for is. OneNote does that for me. So it allows me, without having to do any organization on my own, to just drop different kinds of content in there, tag it up, so that I can find it really easily when I need it. In addition to being available on a Windows desktop, we also have OneNote apps available across most mobile devices, across iOS with iPad and iPhone, obviously on Windows Phone as well, and on Android Phone. So no matter where you are, you're able to capture your notes and reference those notes in a very real-time way. And so it really does make it handy. You have everything that you want to know about it's kind of like you're an extension of your brain at your fingertips wherever you are.
And no one likes paper either. You know, it's always nice to have little tabs and everything, losing those things.
So here we actually have OneNote up right now. And I'm just going to go ahead and get started. So of course you have the familiar tabs that you've probably seen before, just the standard notes. I'm just going to go ahead and get started here with some work that Ari and I were doing as we were preparing for our preparing for the presentation. I'm actually going to put a presentation here. I want to go ahead and put one of my presentations that I had. And let's see, I can pop it in here like this. So it's essentially creating a printout of a PowerPoint presentation. It's going to drop it into the notebook for me. And it actually creates a page for each of the slides that we had. And so these are just images of the actual slides that we had, not actual full versions of them. But what it also does for me is allows me to go in and I can actually copy text from this page. So I'm going to copy it and then I can paste it over here. Or not. Where'd it go?
Second try's the charm.
Yeah, I'll try it again. So copy text from the page of the printout. I'm going to give it a shot here one more time.
Change the full color.
Oh, that's probably...
It's hiding. It's like hiding a ninja. It's blending in.
Is it there? I can't even select it. Anyway, I see it there, maybe. Sorry. Well, anyway, maybe if I found a different, maybe a different slide, but I can show you guys after as well. Essentially, what it does, it uses optical character recognition to pull the content out of the slide, so that I'm actually able to go in and make adjustments to that as well. This will also work for something along the lines of, if you have a receipt, a photo of a receipt, you could take the photo, it will pull that content out, and then you can work with that as well. So it's just a great example of lots of things you can dump into OneNote, and it keeps it organized for you, and it makes it reusable for you later. The other thing is screen clipping. So of course you have lots of internet content that you care about. I'm just going to go to a page that I like, and maybe I'm working on a web page, for example. I'm going to use the OneNote screen clipper here. I'm going to do a screen clipping. It's going to ask me to select the piece of that I like. I can go pick which notes I want to put it in. I'm going to put it in my tech ed planning, for example. It's going to pop it in there for me. And there it is. So it's already there. I can see it. And then I've got my device here as well. And I can actually start marking up what I want to change here. I say I like the layout. Translate to English.
What language is that?
It's Spanish, I believe. So I'm actually able to do some nice work here, really make the change to, I can't really read my writing, but I can also translate this content, again, into print. Sarah did that for me. So I can use my stylus just as easily as I can use my finger or my keyboard in a really easy way that I can, just like a notebook, but it makes it a lot more searchable and easy to find when I need it. So that's the screen clipping, and again, some inking there that is really handy. It really starts pulling together the idea of digital and what you love about your notebook, your historical paper notebook. The other thing that is the idea of tagging. So like I said, you don't have to be organized. You don't have to think about where all your content is. I can actually go in and start seeing tagging things here. So I've starred some things here around the numbers that I need to do. Those are very important. I've got some questions that I have for people. I have an action item here. I'm going to go ahead and tag that for myself. I want to make that a to-do. And I want to go find the tags. So if I can go find those, and it gives me a roll-up of all the different kinds of content that I've tagged for myself, whether it be questions or whether it be people that were at meetings with me or to-dos that I have. And then I can actually refresh the results if I've made content changes to that, so I can really do that, find what I need. But I can also create a summary page for myself, which is really handy. Essentially, it's all of the information that I've tagged in my notebook in one view, sort of like an executive summary of all the things that I have to do, whether it's a question I have to go ask, whether it's an action item I have to do, or some kind of follow-up. It's a really handy way of pulling all that information together into one view. I think when I originally started using OneNote, I found it was somewhat confusing to find all the things that I needed, and I felt like I needed to be more organized. In fact, it really allows you to be not very organized, but it gives you the tools to find the stuff that you need when you need it. So that's kind of the full, some high points there of OneNote. And actually, one more thing I'm going to add here is to go in and show you some search tools. So again, like I said, if I just search for sales, for example, it gives me lots of different results back for where I've added sales. I've got it in some copy, some customer research. You can even see that it looked into this image here, sales up by 13%. It's a really handy way, so it's searching all the different kind of content that I have, whether it's something that I've written by hand, whether it's something that's an image. It can even search audio that you've recorded or an audio within video. So it's really, it's a very smart technology. It's going in and finding the information you need. And it really is this idea of catching all the kind of content. It really does take the idea of the notebook to the next level. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was the idea of not only can you put kind of your notes and ideas here, but you can also put full office content here. So what I want to do is actually insert a spreadsheet that I have. I have an existing spreadsheet. And it's here. It's about my budget. And I can insert the spreadsheet, or I can insert a chart or table within the spreadsheet. So it's going to go ahead and insert there for me, and I can go pick which one it is. I believe it's here. So here's a budget, and it actually has the chart that represents my budget over time. So not only is it a live preview of the chart that's within my spreadsheet, I can actually go in and make changes to the spreadsheet, and I can go in and make a change, maybe potentially even to the type of chart, for example. Maybe I want to change that to a column. I can apply that here in the actual spreadsheet, save it. And then you can see that actually it changed, it updated that right within my notebook as well. So now I have a live view of the content that I care about right within my notebook, where I can kind of keep everything that I care about right there in OneNote. So that's a question. If you have audio, it will actually just go and find the audio for you. Excuse me?
You have to import the audio into OneNote in order to search it.
Or if you're, oh, I was just thinking if you're capturing audio, right. Is it MP4? Is that what it is, I believe? So I was kind of thinking like we can follow up for you afterwards, but essentially you can do the audio recording within OneNote, as you might be familiar with.
There's a record.
So you can record audio here, and you can record video. I think you can also import audio and video as well. I was thinking primarily here, we can look up the format for you afterward. Yes? Yes. Yeah. Just like like you can insert any of the different types of things. Oh.
Like take a photo.
Yeah. Pictures. I think you can. You can insert from here. Can you do it? I know you can do it in the Windows 8 one. You can do it from here too, right? You can. Okay. So the Windows 8 version, which is kind of the new Metro style version on the new Windows 8 desktop, you actually can take photos from there, or from your mobile devices as well, but not from your desktop. Is there a question in the back? No? All right. So that's essentially the view of OneNote and about keeping to be very zen and focused and organized. Next, we're going to move on to collaboration.
So most of you know that collaboration, or being a ninja, really requires collaboration. You can't take down the enemy without a little bit of help from your colleagues, right? So we're going to show you a little bit of some of the capabilities within Office that allow you to do just that, collaborate within the context of the applications that you have. So many of you know SharePoint very well, but we're going to show a little bit of the integration with SharePoint SkyDrive to be able to really do a lot of that collaboration within the context. Mm-hmm. So we're going to jump back to our beloved inbox here and back to the email that we looked at with Robin. But what we see here is there's actually an email from Alex Darrow, who has sent us an email about Northwind proposal. So the Northwind proposal is specifically relevant to our project with Northwind. And this has been kind of a hot topic recently for us. And so what we want to do is actually share out both the document and the email with other members of our team. Before now, you'd have to, you know, go to SharePoint, upload the document, do all that. Kind of a pain. So what we want to do is actually just take the document from his email, and you can see the proposal is attached. So we don't have to forward this to anyone. We can actually just bring this over and drag it into our Northwind Trader site mailbox, which is specifically for this project, put it in our documents folder within that. And when we go to this folder, you'll actually see the Northwind Traders proposal loading to this site mailbox. And this site mailbox isn't just within Outlook. It's actually backed up on SharePoint. And I'll show you in a second, once it uploads there, that you can actually just open up the browser and be able to see it on SharePoint. So we'll open in a web browser, and it jumps us right to that team site for the Northwind proposal. And you can see down in the lower right in the documents section that a little star shows up next to this document, which is the Northwind Traders proposal, and it's already on SharePoint, so that others within my team can just view that document. So you can see this is the Word web app, the new Word web app. We could, someone could jump in and actually edit in the Word web app or in Word themselves. The other thing that you can do is if you actually just want to share the whole email with the rest of the team without forwarding it to them, because everyone knows we don't want more emails in our normal inbox. We want to be able to organize them a little bit. So for us, we can actually just drag this over to the inbox in Northwind Traders, and you'll see that it shows up in this separate inbox that everyone else on my team already has. So that's just another way that you can stay organized all within the context of Outlook without having to jump between different sites, different inboxes. Yeah. It's copied, yeah. Yep.
So the original is still there.
It's still in the email, yep. It's all backed up there, yep. Exactly. The other thing that you can do in terms of collaboration is with calendars. So we all have colleagues that we want to share certain things with, but not everything. We all want to see kind of when they're available so we can set up meetings with them. So this is the case here. So if we want to see Katie's calendar that she shared with us, you can see these are my colleagues, Robin and Katie, listed under shared calendars. I can just check that. And what you can see is that in a second, her whole schedule will pop up as an adjacent calendar to my own on the left-hand side. And so I can either view it side by side, or if I want to kind of get an overlay view, I can do that very easily just by hitting this arrow. And you can see it overlays, being able to do that. The other thing with touch that's really great is we could zoom in to a particular day. Take a second. And we could take a look at that day. So all touch enabled, as I showed you earlier with Outlook. The other thing is if we want to share our calendar with her, we can do that as well. So we can go back here and say share calendar. And so I can share with Katie. Here, let's see if it resolves it here. There we go. So Katie Jordan pops up already because she's in my gal. And I can decide if I want to share full details with her, which most colleagues, we won't want to do that. We could share limited details, which includes just kind of the subject lines of the emails, not any details about them. Or in my case, I probably want to just share my availability because I don't want her knowing about my personal life too much. So we can just send that off. Just prompts me to let her know that I'm doing that. And it'll send a message to her letting her know that I'm sharing a calendar with her. And she can simply open it up and it'll look just like the one that she had just shared with me. So that's a little bit about clan collaboration within Outlook, both with documents, emails, and calendar.
And then now I'm going to focus a little bit on the more familiar idea of collaboration within Word. So here I actually have Word pulled up, and this is the opening view of Word. Up in the corner, you can see that I'm logged in. Over on the left-hand side, you can see I've got recent documents. This is part of the service. I'm able to store all that content online. The product, Word actually remembers documents that I've opened previously and keeps them lined up here so that I might want to access them. And so, for example, here we have Northwind Proposal. It's something that we've all been working on together. Multiple folks on the team.
Different Northwind proposal than we had before.
Yeah, this is a different business, separately. So again, you can see in the upper right-hand corner, it says, welcome back. It knows where I have been most recently, and it's really big right now. But I'm just going to go ahead and start out here really quickly. So as I scroll down, you can see on the right-hand side here this idea of the simple markup. Do you see this on the left-hand side, these little lines? They actually indicate changes that have been made to the document. And we know when you're working with lots of people, have you ever had that document that's got like every font change has changed? If someone put a paragraph in, it's like really distracting. You can't really see what changes people made. So the idea now is that we have this, the simple markup allows you to have an idea that some changes were made, but you're actually seeing the final version of the document right here. You don't have to get distracted by all the different kind of little pieces that have happened. If I want to find out information about what they were that was changed, I can just click on that. It'll highlight that for me. I can see there that the 3 was added. I think it was probably 2012 before it was changed. And then I can then just close it up and say, okay, great, that's fine. And then as I scroll down further, I can also see that there's some comments here. So right here I've got these comments and I can click on them and see what some folks had to say. And of course, commenting is really has been something that an interesting way that we collaborate. We don't want to make necessarily changes to the document, but you want to make sure that people have either added some action items there or put some requests for information. So you can see here that Tal has asked me, Katie Jordan, to add some content. And I said I will do it. And then, I actually have done it. So I'm going to right-click on this, and it says I can actually mark my comment done. That's another thing that I found when I'm working with other people through the comments, where I find lots of conversation is happening, and we have these threaded comments there now, so we can respond to somebody in a very specific way about a specific piece of content. But we also want to make sure that we're tracking the conversation over time. So I don't want to necessarily delete that comment, because it's important to know that it got done. So it gets grayed out for me as I've marked it as done. Or I can also just delete it as well, and I can just right-click that there, it will be just as if it had never happened. So all those happen right there as a right click. I can mark it done or delete that comment as well. So those are some really interesting ways that we are working together. The simple markup really cleans things up for me and makes it so I don't have to pile through all those different changes. I can just focus on the ones that I really care about. So the other thing that that I think about when I think about collaborating beyond comments is the idea that you can invite people to work with you on the document. So this is not necessarily new in Word, but we've made it a lot simpler to do. It's actually in the backstage now. And not only can I share this document with people that I work with internally, all I have to do is click on share here. I can invite people. And if my IT admin has allowed it, I can actually even share it with people outside of my organization. So that's a tool that's enabled through SharePoint Online. With SharePoint Online specifically, we really made it drop-dead simple to share externally if you want to allow that. For me, for example, I do that with vendors where I don't want to go create a Dropbox folder to give them some big file. I want to work with them collaboratively. I don't want to have lots of different versions of it. I can do that here now by sharing directly with them So I'm going to send the email. I can share it just right here. SharePoint's actually going to take care of sending that alert for me. And I'm going to go show you now what that actually looks like on the other end. So Katie Jordan, okay, so I'm logging in to that person's inbox. This is my Outlook.com inbox. It's not part of the corporate infrastructure. So I can click on that invite. And she says she wants me to see this Northwind proposal. So I'm going to click on it. It's going to open it up for me. It's going to ask me to authenticate.
Very important.
Yes. I think I actually want to do it with my Microsoft account instead, which I've already done. So you can see here, I've got on this side, this is the Office web app. And actually, I'll just make a call out. We do have a session on Office web apps tomorrow about the new collaboration. I believe it's in the noon hour. So if you're interested in seeing what's new and what's coming in the Office web apps with real-time co-authoring over the next several months, please do join us. We'll show you some new stuff there. So I've got the document here on the right-hand side, which is Word web app. And on the left-hand side, I have, and I'm going to just kind of pop that over there. On the left-hand side, I actually have Word. And now I'm going to just mark this as editing. I'm going to go into the editing mode and do a side-by-side view here. This may take a moment. Sometimes it does. So while I'm waiting for the Word web app to pop up, I'm going to go ahead and insert an image here.
It's important to note also that there was a a note that popped up in the bottom, bottom right there that actually shows that Amanda is already editing that document.
Sweet.
So that someone who's in the client actually knows that someone is in the Word web app also editing it.
So it's identified that I'm logging in for me now. I've added this image. Let me make that a little bit smaller. So it's just taking a little while. I think it's dependent upon the internet a little bit here. Let me just give it one more shot.
This means you have to come to the web app session that Amanda's doing tomorrow and see it in full force.
I do. It's giving me access required. Let me try again. I'm just going to go back and try one more time. It's letting me in. It's just not letting me into the Word web app. Well, darn it. It really does work, I promise. So what essentially happens with the Word and Word web app with co-authoring, you can have two people working in the document at the same time. Today we have the way that we work together is as I make a change to the Word desktop app, as I added the image, I need to commit a change onto my side. So as you can see up here, this is an online document. I save there. And then as the change is committed to the server, that change will also be committed, and then I actually have to add a change to the Word web app as well, and it will pull down that change for me, so that we both can see what each other are adding to the document, and then as new changes are made, we can see what's happening there. So it does seem to think that I'm editing on the other side, but for some reason it's just not able to pull it for some reason. So I'm going to go ahead and move along. But yeah, do come join us tomorrow, and we will hopefully have a little bit better connection, I guess. So the other thing that I was going to show you, oh, there it is, yay.
So you're leaving.
So you can see that it has another alert here that it shows that two people are editing this. I'm going to commit a change here, and it should. And you can actually see on the column side there that there is a change made. It's letting me know that somebody else is making a change there. As I make the change to this document, it's pulling that image back down. And it actually says there are three people editing. I think I had this open down on the booth floor as well, showing some folks the same thing. So as that change happens, I think you can kind of get the picture, so I don't want to get hung up on that. So the other thing that's an interesting thing that we've added with this particular release is the idea that you can actually share this. So not only can I share it to collaborate with other folks and work on the document at the same time, but I can also share and present online. So this was available to folks with PowerPoint previous releases. But what I want to do, instead of having to work in the same room with somebody with a document or send somebody an email with an attachment that we're both looking at, we don't know where each other are, I can actually enable present online here. And I'm going to connect. And it's going to give me a URL. And it's preparing this online presentation. It's going to post a copy of it to the server. And it's going to kick out a URL that I can share with anybody. I can share via IM. I can share it via email. And then when I send that to them, they'll be able to open that and see exactly where I am. And again, this looks like it's still preparing it. Let me give it a second here.
That's 5%.
Oh, no. Are you guys sucking up all the bandwidth here, or what's going on?
Yeah, who's not paying attention?
There we have it. So I'm going to copy that URL, copy the link. I can just drop it in here as well. And it's going to pull up this broadcast version of the Word document. And I'm going to start the presentation on this side. So again, I'm going to put them side by side so you can kind of see how it works. It's loading this document, and it is pulling. So on the right-hand side is the person I'm presenting to. They're not following the presenter, but if I go one ahead and follow the presenter again, as I scroll down, as we're talking through the conversation, talking through the work, the work that we're, you know, we're working on together. You, on the other end, if you're on the phone, for example, are seeing as I make comments to these things. So it's a great idea, a great example of being able to work with people in lots of different modes. It's almost like being in the same room with somebody and looking at the document together, even though you can't be. Yes? I'm sorry? Well, you know, just like highlighting here, I don't think it actually does do that. It's just kind of like the location, actually where they're at. So no. So, but it is a pretty interesting idea of where, when you're working online. So that's a great example of some of the work that we're doing to make collaboration more a lot simpler in Word. And then we're moving on now, and I'm kind of jumping. I'm going to stick with Word, and now I'm going to actually move on to kind of our next area of, do you have the demo here?
Area.
The next area is really around masterful performances. So it's really about making great looking content so that you look good when you're sharing your content out. So again, we're going to come pop back into Word, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Word Read Mode, PDF Reflow, which is a great new feature in the release, some of the design tools available, some of the integration we have with photos and media, and some of the tools that we have now available to make it a lot easier to create a polished and really crisp design. So all right. So first I'm going to start with a PDF. So how many of you have ever used a PDF as kind of the starting point of a document that you had to create? Did it go well? Like a really nicely designed one? So let me just close out of these documents here. And actually a good point here is when I end this presentation, it goes black on the other side. So it's a great example of you can share the content, but you don't have to give it to them in a document or in an email address. So let's start with this PDF here. And so the scenario here is that we have like a spec sheet that somebody created, you know, earlier last year maybe. But now we want to reuse it. We want to update it, but we also want to reuse it. And so if I wanted to reuse it, I could do that and just copy and paste like you historically would. But when you actually try and put that into a Word document, what happens? It doesn't look so good.
It doesn't keep any of that formatting.
All that formatting of all those tables that we cared about that were really, really handy and making it really easy to organize information is now gone. So I have the information, but I'll have to go back in and reformat it. With the new Word Reflow feature, I don't have to do that anymore. It actually really makes it super handy for me to go ahead and do that, and let me show you how. So simply by right-clicking on that file, I can open with, of course I can use Adobe Reader, but now we can open with Word. And it's just going to open that file up for me, and now you can actually see it looks a lot like the PDF that we had. It won't look like 100%, but what it does enable you to do is reuse that content. So, for example, these bullets here are real bullets that you see in Word, so when I hit enter, it adds a new bullet. If I want to add new pieces to this to my table, I can do that as well. If I want to insert or delete lines, I can insert below or insert to the right. That's just new. You know, all of it's reusable now and really handy, and I can now make this make some really beautiful updates to this present to this document that we want to repost to the website. So that's I've pulled that content out of the PDF. I can actually also go into the Design tab and add, you know, some interesting new ways of that formatting that content because it is just full version of a Word and the same content that you would expect to have in Word. And then I also want to add some images, for example. So I'm going to go in and add an online picture. I can do that here. And I'm going to just search Bing, for example. And again, using my finger, I can just scroll through. I like this. I really like this little icon. I make him smaller. And I also want to make sure he fits more nicely within the text that I've got here. So we actually have the live redraw of the content here. So I can just move that through and really place it in a way that I like it to be. I'm going to put that up in the corner. I'm going to make it a little bit smaller. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I remember having to do some spec sheets. And placement of images within those was incredibly difficult. And you had to kind of, you know, put the number in there and move it over and look again. Now it's just a matter of dragging and dropping, and it's, you can drop it in. It's dead easy. Not only can you add images, you can actually add video as well. So I'm going to go ahead and look for some video as well from the Bing search. I can select and insert. So again, I have the same opportunity to go ahead and format that if I'd like. I can compress that. I can add some picture, some effects here if I want. I can even go in and make some slight adjustments to the way it, you know, I can make the, to trim it down as well. So the same idea that you have, this video actually doesn't sit in the Word document, it's just pulling and representing it here. It doesn't really make this file really bulky, but it does allow you to add a lot more media content and really richen your documents. And just like in the same way that you have with a flat type of content, you can do the text wrapping with this as well, move it up through the content and really make your document pop. So that's an interesting way here for you to add some interesting content to Word.
And you can play it in line too. Right?
Yeah, you can play it in line. It'll actually pop it out.
Yeah.
For me.
It's pretty cool. So it doesn't have to take you to YouTube in order to play it. Again,
right.
All in line.
Right. So that's what I have for Word. There we go. And we're going to move on a little bit to Excel. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Born ready. I love Excel. How many of you just absolutely love Excel? Okay. Good. Those are the people that I want to hang out with at TechEd. So let's jump over. So what we got here is the Northwind project, again, is having to crunch some numbers. And what we have is some of the spend and sales analysis in this workbook. So many of you are probably familiar with bringing in a bunch of raw data. So you could have data that has a bunch of different elements that you want to get at and separate into different columns. But usually that requires writing VBA, macros, maybe using delimiting cell formulas, things that I don't really know how to do because I'm a business person. I'm not a coder. So the thing that is great about Excel is that, like a ninja, it's able to read minds. You don't believe me, but watch. So what I have here is some raw data with the category of expenditure in the middle of some other data. So you can see that I have events, advertising, digital marketing in that first raw data column. And what I want to do is just pull it out. I don't want to have to write some formula or write some code. So let's just start typing events, advertising. And in a cell and a half, Excel recognizes that that's what I was doing. I just hit enter. It's all filled. Completes it for any size of table. So that's what we call flash fill. I'm surprised no one claps on that one. I think it's pretty cool. So, and it's not just taking out elements from one column to another. It's also combining them. So in this case, we have the last term in the raw data column is the first name of the rep that we want to pull out. And then we also have a separate column for the last name of the rep. So what we'll do is just type John, Chen, if I can type, and Jenny. Same thing, recognizes it and is able to complete it. So now what we've done is we've cleaned up our data. So once we have clean data, what do we want to do? We want to visualize it. So with Excel, with Excel 2013, it's gotten a lot easier to do that. So what you can actually do is just select the data that you want to look at. So in our case, we just want to look at amount, category, and full name. And once we select that data, a little icon appears in the lower right-hand corner, and this is called the Quick Analysis Tool. And what we can do is just click that, and just like what we had with Outlook, with quick peeks into the people and tasks, we can do the same thing with quick analysis in Excel. So we're able to get data bars for our mounts. That's a nice way to look at it. A color scale, maybe, looking at icon sets, greater than values, maybe identifying duplicates with text contains. The other thing about this tool is it actually combines other technologies like recommended charts and recommended pivot tables. So it actually will be able to picture different charts that Excel thinks that I want to use. So in this case, this is kind of a nice one. This is looking at the different reps and their expenditures. So maybe I'll use that one. This one's looking at the category. We can look at all that. We could also just look at more charts. You can add totals. And this is all hovering, again. You can look at tables, so you could just insert a different type of table. Or we can look at recommended pivot tables. And that's been a huge ask for Excel, to be able to create pivot tables. Most people don't have any idea how to create pivot tables, but this actually allows you to create them from just a flat table. So what we can do is actually, let's jump back to charts, and this particular chart has a little column up in the upper right-hand corner that says that it's not only a chart, it's a pivot chart. So we can click that, and it'll insert a new sheet with our chart as well as our pivot table, and let's say we want to do a little bit more with this particular pivot table. We can check category. And what we get is an edited pivot table. Gives us a little bit more information about the types of expenditures by each rep. And the other thing about Excel now is that you don't have to jump into new windows to be able to edit your charts. So this particular chart, it's kind of bland, you know. I kind of want to spice it up a little bit. So what we'll do is we can hover over different chart styles. We'll scroll down. Ooh, that's kind of a nice one with the black background and glowing bars. So we'll do that one. And then the other thing is you can add different chart elements. So in this case, we don't really know what the expenditures are without having a label. So we'll add a data label. Check that. And right like that, we have an edited chart that looks a lot better than it did before. Another great thing about pivot tables, once you have them implemented in your spreadsheet, is that you can add slicers. And slicers are a great way to be able to look at different slices of the data. So in this case, let's insert a category slicer, which we actually had in Excel 2010. So we'll add a, not a timeline slicer. We're going to first add a slicer on the category. And so what that does is it inserts this slicer. Now what we could do is we can, you know, click advertising and just look at the advertising expenditures. We'll clear that for now. But we've also added a new type of slicer that looks at time data. And this is a timeline slicer. And this is really handy if you have any time data within your pivot table. So if we have the pivot table selected, we can add a timeline slicer. And it recognizes that we have a date associated with it, so we can insert that in. What you can see here is now we're creating a dashboard that is all interactive. Oh, let's make it a little bigger. And what we can see is we can look at months, quarters, days, whatever we'd like. Look at quarters. We'll just look at Q3. And it immediately filters our chart and our pivot table, which are all linked. The other thing that I'll point out with these pivot charts and pivot tables is they now share the same field well. So where in the past they had separate field wells, it's all linked together so that you are able to edit one and edit the other at the same time. So that's kind of handy. The other thing I'll show you, just kind of going back to our whole extensibility model with Office, is that we've actually looked at adding some new visualizations with these apps for Office. So if you have a number of visualizations like a chart, a pivot table, but you want to add something a little bit richer to your worksheet, you can actually do that now by leveraging the community. So what we have is a developer community who's every day developing new apps for Office that we can put into our spreadsheets. So what I have here is some apps for Office, and they should load in a second. And what we'll do is we'll add a bubble visualization, which is kind of a cool one. So we'll add that to our expense trends worksheet. Move that over. Oh, there we go. And it prompts us to immediately select a table. We can look at, let's say we just want to look at the expenses for these 2 months in a little bit more visual way. And what we have is some bubbles, which are kind of fun to play with. You can, you know, play with them a little bit. Gravity and everything. This is kind of what I'm doing when I'm bored at Microsoft. I just play with these things. But moving on, another quite richer visualization that we have is PowerView. And that's available only in our premium SKU, so Office Professional Plus and Office Pro Plus, Office 365 Pro Plus. And what we have here is a rich dashboard that's all interactive. And I'll show you how easy it is to actually add elements to this particular dashboard. So what we'll do is, if we want to click on an empty space in the dashboard, we can add some data to it. So let's just look at product category. And you'll see in a second that it'll add that to our dashboard once Excel responds. And then what we can do is, let's say we want to add some of the gross margin data to us. So we go into our sales table, add gross margin. And you can see it's just kind of adding a new table to our visualization. But that's not really what I want. We want to actually have a bar chart that is able to filter the rest of the dashboard. So what we'll do is go into bar chart, add a stack bar chart. And you'll see that it'll immediately adapt into this new visualization. Can make that a little bigger so we can see it. And so now we have four different visualizations that are all interactive. So if I want to look at just my gross margin of cameras and camcorders, we can click on that, and it filters the rest of my visualization so that you can see them, just the cameras, so the relevant portions of it. And so what we'll do is, like here, we also have some time data that we can play for our different brands of categories of products. So here, let's take a look and play by month our different visualizations. And you can see that the month plays in the upper right-hand corner. And being able to play that over time is a really great way to get new insights about your different brands. And so here, let's say we want to look at the movement of one particular item. You can actually do that. Let's click here. It's a little better. Oh. Unexpected error code. But you got a sense for what we're talking about with PowerView. Oh, doesn't really like us right now. So we'll jump out of that. But what I can show you, I'm not going to go into deep detail, but if you want to learn more about PowerView as well as Power Pivot, which I'll show you right now, we have a session actually right after this, DB 215, which is overview of Office BI. And you can learn much more about Office Business Intelligence, especially in Excel. But I'll show you really quick, just going into Power Pivot, which is kind of the back-end model behind this PowerView visualization. It opens up a new window, and what you can see is you have all these different tables that are not immediately available to the user when they're looking at the spreadsheet, but they're hidden back here, and you can create relationships between them. So we go to Diagram View, and kind of like what you are accustomed to in my beloved Microsoft Access, you can create relationships between them. But it's a little slow right now. Here we go. So you can see that we have all our different tables that you just saw a second ago listed in tabs. Now they're separate squares that you can actually drag and drop relationships between. So if we had like product key, we could drag and drop that here and create a relationship. We actually already have a relationship there, so I won't do that. But you get a sense for creating these relationships and being able to build visualizations off of them. So you guys are in for a treat. I think we have enough time to do this, but I'm going to show you some of the new capabilities actually coming to Office very soon that are currently in preview. So one of them is called Data Explorer. How many of you have heard of Data Explorer? Just a few of you, probably just the data junkies. So what we'll do is, much like you're accustomed to with Bing or now within some other Office applications like Word, being able to search online content, you can actually do that within Excel now. So if we go to the new Data Explorer tab, mind you, this is just a preview, so it's a separate add-in that you have to go and download online. But you can go to online, you can look at different types of data to bring in, so whether it's from another Excel workbook, from the web, you could actually, this particular table that you're looking at here that I brought in is actually from a website, and I'll show you that. really quickly. So I actually brought in this HTML table into Excel just by simply putting in that web address. So it recognized that it was an HTML table. But what I'm going to do is actually add some new data. We already have some weather data, but I want to bring in some data about the population of different cities in Spain to kind of cross-reference that with what the weather's like in these different places. So what I've typed in is the list of metropolitan cities in Spain, and you can see I get previews of all these different Wikipedia data sets. And we just have Wikipedia on there right now for the preview, but what you can imagine is that there'll be multiple different data sources that we can query, whether that's in Wikipedia, any other online public resource, as well as private data, so enterprise data that you have within your organization that you provision to your users. You can actually query all those data sources as long as the users have permission to them. So for us, we want to actually take the first one, which is the list of metropolitan cities in Spain. We can do that, and it'll actually bring in that data into the Excel workbook. And we could also refresh it if there were updates to that table. And in a second, it adds a new sheet, and it's starting to bring in those 56 rows of data. And we can even filter and shape this data. So this is a new way of actually doing some of the similar things that you saw with Flash Fill, but being able to do that all in line with different queries of online resources. So here, let's say, these are different population studies that were done. One of them is not really relevant because it has a bunch of null values. So we can actually just remove that column. So we'll get rid of that. We also don't really need this key column. We can remove that. And let's say we want to make sure that it's very clear that these are Spanish cities. This will become relevant in just a second with another feature that I'll show you. But what we're going to do is insert a new column that just calls out that this is in Spain. So this is custom query language within Excel. And I know this kind of goes over maybe some of your heads. It went over my head for a while too, but it's very easy to learn. What you can do is we take the metropolitan city, we'll just add a comma, a space, and then and again, be able to add in Spain so that we get all those cities with Spain as their second value. So I'll add this new column. We'll just rename it city. And we can click done. And what we'll then do is we'll actually load this data into our data model. And the data model is actually present within every Excel 2013 workbook. And that allows you to create some of those relationships that you saw with Power Pivot. So being able to create relationship between similar keys, things like that, and then be able to create visualizations on top of it. So we'll load that data into the data model in Power Pivot. So now it's all there. And what we have is, let's rename that to our population. So we have different tabs for weather and population. And so I'll show you the second preview and new feature coming to Excel that maybe some of you saw during the keynote, and that's called GeoFlow. And this has been one of my favorite features because I've kind of led the whole exposure to the world of this particular feature. If you see some videos online, it's probably me narrating them. So we'll take a look at this particular tour that I've already started and taken a look at the temperatures and different weather patterns within different parts of Spain. And already I've created a scene, and these are just kind of screenshot insights that are going to be woven together into an interactive tour, kind of like a video. So what we want to do is actually look at the population here in Spain. So we'll click on that particular scene, bring in some of the new data that we have. And we have that here. So we'll create a new layer, because we have to geocode this data. So that's sending it off to Bing to be able to send us latitude, longitude dates, data that we can actually put on the map. So we'll select city, which we created as a column. We actually have to turn it into an other because we have Madrid as the second value. So we'll map that on the map. And you can see that all the data points actually show up on the map once we do that. And then what we can do is start visualizing different columns. So we're looking at the different populations of those different studies that we had. And so we can click those, these two different ones. We'll actually do clustered bar charts so we can look at them side by side. And so what we have there is a separate scene. And all I'll do is kind of weave together those different insights that I just captured of temperature as well as population data throughout Spain. So we'll hit play. Give it a second. And what you can see is we're flying over. Oh, and the map disappears, which happens from time to time. But what you can see is you have temperature data looking at the different cities. We have 2D charts that we inserted in. So this is looking at the sum of hours, daylight hours, as well as humidity. Then we're going to zoom in specifically to Madrid. And you can tell there's a little bit of bugs still left because it's a beta. But what you can see is also that it's a really great way to create interactive geospatial visualizations within Excel. Let's see here. But what it did, again, weave together those different scenes. And it's all interactive as well. So if we wanted to go in, hopefully the map will show up in a second and we can see it. But what you can do is click around. So it's not just a video. You can also click in and see different aspects, get data on each different thing. So we're looking at Madrid. We can look at the population being about 5 million. So a cool new feature within Excel that you can try out now if you just go online and download the add-in.
All right. And we have 10 minutes left, and we're going to spend it on PowerPoint. Here. Okay, so just like we did in Word, I can actually open up PowerPoint. It's going to give me some great, I'm signed in again. It shows me some of my recent content that I have, but it also gives me the opportunity to start a PowerPoint presentation from scratch that looks really quite nice. So we have some nice, essentially they're like templates. So if I select one here, not only do I just select it and it looks good, it gives you some variations on that theme as well. So I can make the same design but in a different color. I can choose different color theme for that. And then even before I start that content, before I launch that and choose that one, I can see what the different potential layouts could be as well. So as I do that, I can just go ahead and choose this one, for example. It starts this up, and now I have quite a nice looking template without really having to have done anything at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and start, first of all, with some new tools that make it a lot easier to go ahead and, you know, add polish to your slide. So if you used PowerPoint previously, you know that we did some tools around maybe making alignment guides, for example. So I'm going to add some rectangles here to show you how that works. And I'm going to copy it. So I've got two. So you can see I can align it really easy. As I go off a line, it tells me that I'm not aligned. And as I get closer, it snaps it there for me. And now, as I have a, with the, that we already had that in the last release, I'm going to make one more. Oh, I should have made it smaller, but that's all right. I don't have a mouse here, so I'm a little bit. I know, it's just, I don't have another. So again, it aligns it up for me. And if I want to add one more, it gives me a multiple area. So again, I can align it not only there, but it's telling me, as you see, I selected how that I'm aligned here, up and down, but also farther apart. So I don't have to really go up and go do the horizontal alignment and all those different things. I usually snap those in together. And as I move away from it and get closer to it, the product actually kind of is a little bit sticky. So it helps me snap into those alignment guides. It really adds a lot of polish to that document. So that's a nice thing to make it easier for a person that's not a great designer to do something that's kind of interesting and create your layouts that are a lot more crisp. So now I'm going to add a new feature here, which we're calling some merge tools. And by doing that, we're able to make some really interesting shapes. I'm just going to add a star here. And this is a really simple kind of demonstration of what's coming. But I'm going to add star, make a little bit different color. So you can see I've got those contextual tools there. I can maybe go add a new fill there. I'm going to make it a pretty bright one. So as I add this over here, it does show, again, pops those alignment guides there for me. And again, contextual tools are popping up. It's saying, hey, you're doing something, and here's some tools that might be useful to you. If I select both of them together, these shapes together, I actually have the ability to do merge shapes. So this is kind of the idea where you could do a union of those shapes, or you could combine the shapes, fragment them, or even some intersections as well. What I'm going to do here is fragment them. So basically what happens when I fragment them, it turns all of the different pieces of this into different areas. So now I can actually pull that out. These are all different pieces of the pie that and pull it apart. So, and I know it's a really simplistic representation, but the idea is that you can now create really interesting charts. For example, some new tools to create icons. And so this is one of the tools that our PowerPoint product manager really quite loves. He's a kind of an icon guy. So I'm going to show you some of the things that he's done using those new tools to really create quite beautiful documents and quite beautiful icons right from within PowerPoint without kind of needing a real design skill. So here we have a bunch of icons that he actually created himself, and I'm going to show you how he did it using those merge tools that I just demonstrated very simply. So he created an outline of a TV. You can see it here also, by just creating some shapes using squares and rectangles and whatnot, right available within PowerPoint. All I need to do, and actually I'm going to zoom in on this so it's a little easier for you guys to see. Is that better? So I can select this and then select the one here as well. And I'm going to go ahead and go back up into the merge shapes tool. I'm going to subtract there. I'm going to go down here, again, doing a multi-select, and using the trackpad, it's a little tricky. And again, subtract. So now I actually have, I'm going to pull them all together by using the union tool, select them all. Again, pop back up there. And now I'm actually going to apply some interesting formatting to it. So I can select that here. And as you can see, it looks a lot like the ones that are sitting over here. I can pull that in over on the side, use some of those alignment tools that are available to me, shrink it back down. And you can see that you've really created a very polished, professional-looking infographic out of just the shapes and the formatting tools available within PowerPoint. So, it's what seems like a very simple tool. It really adds a lot of design professionalism to your presentations as well. So, that's kind of the first start there. And I also want to talk a little bit about some of the ways that make it a lot easier to add some balance and to integrate the media that you have within your presentations. So here we have a very media-rich, a very image-rich slide, which are kind of the fashion right now in presentations. And we want to make this a lot more integrated with the actual content and the text that we have here. Ari actually made some edits to it, and it looks like...
I love the red. Don't you love the red?
Love the red.
That's my favorite color.
It's his favorite color. You did it because it matched the kite, right?
Yeah, it matches the kite.
Matches the kite perfectly.
Doesn't it?
Well, we all know that men and women see colors differently. So Ari just thought it looked red. I think we could do a little bit better job of matching the kite up with the text that we have so that the components of the slide look very professional and polished. So I'm going to go back into that document and to the presentation, select that content there, and I'm going to pick the color. Whoops. I didn't want to do that. Not letting me do it. Oh, it's got the shape. Let me pick the
red lips.
Text. I'm going to pick the font color, and I really want to match it up with that kite so it really looks natural together. So I'm going to go over to the eyedropper here, and it actually, as you can see, I move around the slide. It's sampling the colors of the actual photo. So I'm going to move into this kite here, and as I stop, it tells me what actually the RGB colors are, what the actual color is. So Ari was wrong. It's actually orange. And as I select it, it changes that back to orange, and then the orange of the text is totally in alignment with the orange of the kite, and then we really have a beautiful looking slide. So really easy ways to add some nice polish to your presentation.
So we have a minute left.
What's that?
We have a minute left. I'm going to show how to present really quick.
Yeah, really quickly how to present. So one of the nice things about when you're using PowerPoint, of course, we want to make great tools to design, but we also want to make tools so that you can actually present more masterfully. So when I do the slideshow, over here we have use presenter view. And the presenter view is actually essentially a dashboard for me to present so I can see what the information I'm presenting is. So this is the slide that you see, but on my side, I actually have a very different view. I'm going to swap the display setting so that you can see what I see. And it really is like a cockpit for my presentation. So I can, there I go. I can move advance forward if I like.
It shows the next slide's notes as well, which is really helpful when you're a presenter to know what's coming.
And then I can make those smaller or larger depending on how far I am from the screen. I can even change the layout somewhat. If I really care more about the next slide is, that's interesting. I can also zoom in if I need to on a particular area of the slide so that that's what will be showing on the screen as well. So it really gives you some nice interactive ways to focus in on content and areas without kind of using any big tricks. It's just all built into PowerPoint for me. I can also, this is one of my favorite things, have you ever had a person ask you a question that you have the answer to in like slide 20, but you don't want to, and then you have to go skipping through all the slides? You can actually do that here. It gives me a thumbnail view of all of the different slides that I've got in the presentation. And instead of scrolling through all the different slides, as you can see right here, this orange highlighted color is what my audience sees. But if I need to skip all the way back here, for example, I can just click on that, and that will be what my audience sees as well. So it gives you some really great, powerful tools so that you can feel really in control of your presentation, your content. And it's really important as you know you become more and more of an office ninja to feel like you have control of the content you're presenting. So it was a really fast run through. I think it was almost 60 tips and tricks and features in the new release.
Maybe more with the extra.
Yeah, previews. You had a lot of Excel stuff. Yeah. So I think we're actually a little bit over time now. But we'll actually be at, as I mentioned, at the Ask the Experts tonight. I would love for you to come to the Office Web App session where you can see some of the new real-time co-authoring tools available in the next several months. So that's like a real sneak peek at the roadmap there as well. So thanks for joining us today. I hope you learned some good new stuff.
Thank you.